I want to welcome all our first-time guests, all of our friends and family that have come in this series, which I think is a game changer. A game changer not only for our church, but for you. You know, in life, everyone needs a game changer. Everyone needs something that changes the rules to your favor. One of the things that many of us struggle with is happiness and joy. Has anybody ever struggled with any of those things in your life? Happiness, joy? Has anybody ever suffered with sadness in your life? Has anybody ever struggled with purpose and wondered, what am I here for? Anybody besides me? And there are seasons in our life where we struggle and we go, hey, God, I need a game changer. I need something to happen in my life that will show me who I am and what I can do. And I had to come to this realization a long time ago. Man, I love church. The church is, the Bible calls, the pillar of truth. It is the standard in which people come and can hear from God what is the truth about the world. I love it. I love it with all my heart. But I've seen too many people like myself come to church, go to church, serve in church, and yet still walk away unfulfilled. You all of a sudden come to church, the excitement is gone, the joy seems to wane, and even though you're serving, it's not with that same pep, that same fervor, that same step that you used to have when it was all brand new to you. In other words, you fell out of love with church. And all of a sudden, we realize that love, can love ever fail? No. Love can never fail. So it's not like we lost the love. We've got to go back and connect to the one who has it. God is love. I'm reminded of the Sahara Desert. Oftentimes I share the story when it comes to couples. When they sit in front of me and say, well, I don't have love for them anymore. I don't feel love anymore. I had it once, but it's gone. And I remind them of the Sahara Desert that is so dry, so barren. When you take a look over it, all you see is heat waves. And that's like it is in that relationship. All you got coming off it is heat waves, anger and bitterness and disappointment. But if you just stay a little bit longer and wait for the rain to fall, all those seeds that was in the sand begin to take in the moisture. And before you know it, with just a little bit of rain, that dirt and sand that looks so barren will then blossom into an oasis of love. And people will go, wow, where was it? It never left. But sometimes we've got to let it rain in our life. We've got to let God rain in our life for the joy to come up again in our deserts. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to share with you what I believe is the true truth to joy. The Bible says that we draw joy from the wells of salvation, meaning somewhere down in that well is the answer to my joy. Somewhere down in that circular thing that all I have to do is let down and bring it up. Somewhere down around the topic of salvation, it's my joy. But I thought my joy was in my job. Man, I'm making the kind of money I want. You know, I'm making the kind of friends I want. Yeah, I don't have time for my kids, but at least I'm achieving my goals. And you find that you're not happy on the job anymore. Well, hey, listen, if I just hit the lottery, woo-wee, man, if I just hit that daily double, man, if I had money, and you get the money, and you find out your friends aren't really your friends. It would have been better been blind and never heard that they weren't your friends than to have all that money and find out the truth. We think that just being healthy is it. Got my strength in my body. But when you walk out into the beautiful sunlight, you begin to ask, what is my life all about? And that is not enough. The answer is that we draw from the wells of salvation. That joy is centered around something concerning salvation. And today, I want to unpack how you can draw that joy from your salvation. Because if you ever name Christ as your Savior, you're going to want to draw on that joy so that you can be happy. Because your husband can't make you happy. Your wife can't make you happy. Your money can't make you happy. They help you become happy, but that's not where your happiness comes from. Only God can give you happiness. So today, I want to walk you through what it means to draw from that well and where it begins. And let me say, it is all about salvation and what the gospel message is. You know, the only way we really know true joy is by walking with him. You know, as you see on the stage are two sandals. My son plays professional football. Those are his. And no, I'm just kidding. Took a couple of us to get in the church. But anyway, like Jesus' sandals that we see, we have to walk with him to understand him. Sometimes you'll never get somebody unless you walk with them in their shoes. Somebody say amen. You may see them do something, may think it's easy, and may think it's hard, but let you just walk with them. And then you begin to understand, oh, this is how you do it. You know, in the Bible, there was a thing that used to call Jesus. They used to say, call him the rabbi. It was a Jewish term. It was called the rabbi because a rabbi was one of the top teachers in the area. Anybody that was a rabbi was an expert teacher of the law. And everybody followed a rabbi. But here's the thing. They used to have a quote about a rabbi because a rabbi didn't pick a whole lot of people. They picked a few people and they transferred everything they had in them into the person. And there was a quote that used to be said about those following the rabbi. They used to say this, may the dust of your rabbi's shoes be upon you. Wow. In other words, you're so close behind the rabbi that his dust is upon you. When we're talking about walking with him, the question is, how close are we walking with Jesus? If Jesus were to name for you and I what his great will is, what would it be? We read in the scriptures, it says very clearly, go ye into what? All the world and preach the gospel. He says, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And he says, out low, I'll be with you even to the ends of the world. The Lord wants us not only just to serve in the parking lot and not only serve in the cafe or serve, you know, answering phone calls or doing a skit on stage. He wants us to walk with him as he goes out and shares the truth that Jesus saves and he's alive and powerful. And if you will walk with him, he will rub off on you. How many have friends that when you hung around with them, they just rubbed off on you? Yeah, it's what I call the moth principle. It's the principle where you catch a moth, you can never touch a moth and not have residue in your hands. That's the same way it is when we walk with Jesus. Now, I want you to go in your Bibles and I want to show you some interesting things happen when we walk with him. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, verse chapter 24, and it's going to be verse chapter 13, 24, starting at verse 13. I want to tell you about two normal people that love the Lord, that really just want to walk with him, and then they find out that Jesus was crucified and died. And they're thinking, oh, man, it's over. He was the one who was supposed to bring everything back. We're supposed to be, you know, like, in charge, take over the Roman Empire. Oh, man, this is a mess. And I want you to read the story of what happened. And I want to go and start at verse 13. And it says these words. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Verse 14. And as they walked, they were talking about everything that happened. Verse 15. as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with him. Let me say something to you, and I want to give you a ticket to an incredible opportunity. The ticket is this. Those two people, those men on the road to Emmaus, were talking about Jesus. And as they were talking about all that happened in Jesus' life, guess who shows up when you talk about him? I bet you y'all wish y'all had that kind of power, huh? Someone talking about you, poof, what you talking about? What you saying? These two men are sitting, ruminating over Jesus and what he had done and died on the cross, but they don't always understand, and they're hungry. They're like, we don't understand. And how many of us in this room can honestly admit that when we talk about how to share the gospel, we can honestly say, I don't understand? One person, two people, three people, four people. That did require a response. Let me try that again. How many of us can honestly say, when it comes to sharing the truth about the gospel, there are some things we don't understand? Oh, thank you. I was about to leave the church. I was like, man, I have like 3 weeks to go, and y'all done messed me up. Y'all know it already. Okay. I want you to see what God does. And as they talked, Jesus appeared, walking with them. Next verse. Look at verse 16. This is very important. But God kept them from recognizing him. Woo! Could you imagine that you don't know who's walking with you? Sometimes you think, the Bible says, sometimes we entertain angels unaware. But when we start talking about God and he becomes our language, ladies and gentlemen, what if you started the language of talking about God on your jobs? What if you started the language of talking about God in the hospitals? What if you started the language of talking about God at your homes? Who could show up at your house and they didn't even know it was him? Look at verse 17. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk? Boy, you guys are really into it. What are y'all talking about? And they stopped, and there was sadness across their faces. Next verse. They said, Cleopas replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem. Boy, look how he talked to the Lord. You must be the only dude who hadn't heard what happened on NBC and Fox News. You didn't know what happened on YouTube? You ain't been watching? Who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days? What things? How many know when Jesus asks a question, he already knows the answer? No, tell me, what things? I don't know. And they said the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people. Verse 20. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. Next, please. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who would come to rescue Israel. And all this happened 3 days ago. Now, these followers were told what was going to happen in 3 days. But sometimes life has a way of knocking your faith out. Life can come sometimes hit you so hard in the chin, you forget what he said to you. Sometimes if you're not talking, see, when you're in the middle of a situation that has knocked you silly, made you lose your first love, made you begin to doubt if God is going to do anything, the best thing you can do is start talking back to him. Somebody say amen. Don't fight him. Don't complain. Listen, sometimes you don't even know if God doesn't care if you're worried. Tell him you're worried. You don't have to come holy. Just come with holes in you and just say, God, here I am. All he wants is you. He knows something's stressing you out. He knows something's burdening you. Something is getting on your mind. And he goes, tell me about it. Man, he's the great counselor. No, I know all things, but sometimes you got to talk it out. Oh, man. Listen, when we walk with Jesus, he's not going to let you keep it all on the inside. He's going to want you to open your mouth and talk about it. Jesus could have just went into it, but he didn't. He says, you tell me. And I want you to know when we walk with Jesus, he doesn't want you to keep silent about him. He wants you to open your mouth and talk about him. Even if you don't understand it all, open up your mouth and begin to share with a stranger all about him. There's a reason he didn't show them his visage to say, oh, you're Jesus. He wanted to see, how would you act if a stranger came and asked you about me? Can you talk about him? And I love what ended up happening here. Let's look at the next verse. Then some of the women from our group, the men say, we're at his tomb earlier this morning. Something crazy happened. They came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. And they had been seeing angels who told them that Jesus was alive. And some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said, can we all read together, please? Can we say it again together? Now let me say this to us. What he was saying to them is, don't let your heart grow hard of the power of the scriptures. Church is not about coming just on Sunday morning. It's about communicating the power of the scriptures as an alive, a living document that can change people's lives. The reason we're doing this series, and we're going to kick off next week with the study guide questions, but this is the intro, is to let you know there's an urgency that God needs you to be in a catalyst group or be a leader in a catalyst group that's willing to take the message that is alive and never has been broken, a message that's over 2,000 years old, that if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. Let's say you got a bunch of junk in your life. Well, 2 Corinthians says that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. There's hope for the person who's dirty and grimy. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins may be like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be whiter than wool. There is hope in these words, hope in this message, hope in this gospel, but it doesn't go out by radio. It goes out by soul to soul to soul. I need you to tune in that you're being faced with a choice. You may have thought you were coming to church just to sit in a pew. By the way, why do they call them pews? That just is kind of, that don't make any sense to me. They don't smell bad, do they? Anyway, you have been brought to this church. Sorry, it happens to me all the time. Squirrel. Okay. To hear your responsibility to do something. Listen, you will never be totally satisfied in your Christian walk without sharing who he is. If you don't begin talking about who he is in your daily life, on your road to Emmaus, in your car, in your house, at the school, at the restaurant, in the parking lot, on your road to Emmaus, that is where he will show up and show out if you're willing to share about him. He's the only God I know that likes to show up when you talk about him. Why do I talk about him on Sunday? Because I want him to come. I want you to have that same joy. There is nothing like sharing who he is to somebody else and seeing their eyes open up and go, oh, that's what that means. No better joy. I learned a while ago that I thought it was about getting plugged in to a position to serve in the local body. And all that's really good, and it's important, and it's necessary. But the Lord said to me, what have I commanded my people to do? And he said this, go ye to all the world and preach the gospel. These two men had forgotten what the Lord had said. Go to verse 26, please. And wasn't it clearly, Jesus says, predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all of these things before entering his joy? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all from the scriptures the things concerning himself. He walked the word to show he was the Lord. Read this next verse, please. Go. Next verse. But they begged him, stay the night with us. Since it's getting late, he went home. Oh, my goodness. Woo. God is looking for somebody that's hungry for more. He's like, I'll walk with you, but there comes a point where I'm about to move on to the next person that's hungry. You have to tell me, God, I want you to stay. Would you stay? I need to know you better. I want to do better. I want to walk better. And he will stop his journey just to spend a little time with you. How many want a little time with Jesus? Come on now. I don't know about you, but if he could give me a good old hour, I'll be better. I trust you. He said, stay the night with us. It's getting late. What is amazing to me is that they begged him. They didn't ask him. They begged. We got to get to a point where we say, Lord, it's not just about reading the Bible. Tell me how to share it. Show me how to share it. Tell me how to give it so I don't feel awkward. Anybody ever feel awkward when you talk about Jesus? You walk in there, you want to tell somebody about the Lord. You go, hey, hi. Yeah, that game was good this weekend. Yeah, that was good. Jesus loved you. Going to hell or going to heaven? I don't know. And everybody gets all bent out of shape. You know, what if it was simple as this? Hey, listen, what are you doing at lunch? Hey, man, I'm doing a Bible study. I would love for you to come. There's water leaking. There's water leaking on the stage. Hey, We're good. Look this way. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Look, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Focus. Focus. Over here. Yes. That's it. Amen. When you walk with him, you don't get scared over water. Okay. It's okay. The man I knew walked on it. Hello, somebody. Let's read on. See, the role of a rabbi is that you begin to look like him. When you walk with Jesus, you ought to begin to look like Jesus. And God's ultimate plan for your life is that you look more and more like him. And Jesus says you have to leave what you have to get what you want. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Would you read what Jesus says to you and I? Go. Now listen. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn. Let me teach you. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are putting this campaign together so that we as a church can be taught by him together. He says, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. Can you just put your finger up like this? And I want you to point at the person next to you. Person next to you. And say, let him teach you. Put the finger back up in the air. and point at the person on the other side and say, let him teach you. Put the finger back up in the air. Point down at yourself and say, Lord, teach me. That is what he desires more than anything. Now, when we think about a yoke, we think about cattle, right? A yoke on one side, a yoke on the other, two people bearing the load. No. This was a rabbinical saying. It meant this. When you talk about taking on a rabbi's yoke, it meant take on his teachings. Take his yoke, his teachings upon you. That's why it makes sense when he says, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A rabbi wants you to take on his teachings. Why? Because when you take them on, you can share them with somebody else. I want you to turn in your Bibles to this amazing parable, Luke chapter 10. Go to Luke 10, please. Luke chapter 10. And I want you to I want to show you what the Lord is doing. Go to verse 2. In this parable of the kingdom, he talks about a harvest. He says this was his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers in the field. So I asked God to send some people to church so I could talk to them. So I could ask them, would they be a worker in the field? And guess what? You showed up today. I asked the God of the Holy Rolodex to send some people today that I could talk to and invite them into the field, for the harvest is white. I want you to look at verse 3. Watch this. Now go and remember, I'm sending you out as lambs among the wolves. Lambs among the wolves. Stay right there. I am asking you today to partner with us in this campaign of walking with him. Here's what we're going to do starting next week. We're going to lay out how to disciple a person in all the basics of Christianity, from what does it mean to ask for forgiveness, all the way to what happens when you die and what happens when you go to heaven. And there'll be in an 8-week series. And I'm asking that every person under the sound of my voice would participate in this series. And at the end of the series, we are going to put it in a workbook and then give you a workbook where you could take it to your job, take it to your home, your children, and walk anybody through the Bible. How many would like to have the ability to do that? Awesome. All you need to do to obtain this one thing that some people their entire lives have never been taught is just simply take out one of those Catalyst group cards and plug into a group. And when you plug in, they will walk you line upon line what it is. And you can ask all your questions in the group. And it comes with answers at the back. So you don't need to be a genius, but it's all there for you so that you could lead somebody else. I want you to go back in your Bibles, if you will, to the road of Emmaus. And I want to go down in that scripture. Jesus last said he was going to act as if he was going to go on, but he decided to stay. And then in the next verse, it tells us in Luke 24, around 30, Luke 24 and 30, they sat down to eat, and he took the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. And watch what happens. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Do you know what that's like to have that moment when you're reading the scriptures And all of a sudden, boom, I recognize him. I get it. And here are these two men. Got it. That was Jesus. And look what they said. This will happen if you partner with me in this campaign. Look at verse 32. Let's read it. Then they said, let's all read together. Go. Wow. Your heart will begin. If your heart has been dead and heavy and hadn't had joy and hadn't experienced anything, if your heart seems like it's been so just kind of out of the pocket, what needs to happen is when you start studying him and preparing to share him, your heart will burn within you. You want to get reignited in your faith. You want to get excited again in your faith. All you need to do is expose yourself to his story. And when you do, man, your heart lights up all over again like it was the first day. Anybody want to be on fire like that? God told me to tell you, this is how. You know, here's the reality that we have. God said that I am a sower going into a field to sow a seed. And that seed is going into dry ground. But within that seed is life. In that word is life. Jesus defined the seed as the word of God. And he told us that we are the sowers that go and sow the seed into the world. And no one can have life unless we sow it. And I want to ask you the question, when was the last time you deliberately sowed the seed and walked somebody through to know who God is? Can I share my story as I get ready to close? Imagine me with a head full of hair. A long ponytail. I did have one. I had leather Indian boots, you know, with the tassels. Leather jacket with tassels. I carried my bass guitar on my motorcycle. I was a bad joker. Anyway, I remember that I'd come to know the Lord. I gave my life to Christ, but I didn't know anything about him. Nothing. And all I knew was to go to church, right? Go Sunday, come home. Go Sunday, come home. Go Sunday, come home. And there was no depth in my walk. I didn't know anything about him. Well, there was a girl there that I thought was cute. And it wasn't my wife. Let me just get that out of in the open so I don't get in trouble later. It wasn't my wife. But thank God, God brought her to me. Amen. All right. But sometimes God uses all kinds of things to get us. And this girl said, there's something wrong in your life. And I said, what do you mean? She says, you don't know God. She says, would you like to learn? And I said, yeah, I'll learn. But at the same time, I said, man, I looked at that Bible. There are too many pages. That book is too thick, and those words are too small. There's no way I can ever get a grasp of that, let alone know anything out of it. She said, would you let me help you? I said, sure, you can try. And she handed me a workbook. And I took that workbook home, and I read it, and one of the memory verses in that workbook was this, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. That was the first verse I've ever memorized in my life. And it is the foundation of my life. As I began to realize, man, I can memorize something, I started studying those worksheets. And every week I grew more and more and more and more until I got fascinated with the Word of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even remember that lady's name. I don't even remember her face. And I can guarantee you she doesn't even remember me. But when she goes to heaven, she is going to get a reward that's going to blow her away. Because every person, every one under this ministry, every person sitting in this church, every healing, every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every soul is going to be accredited to her account for that one time she gave a man a Bible and walked away and changed the life of so many people. One person. And to this day, I don't know where she is to thank her. But I've got people that were raised from the dead that want to tell her thank you. What if you're the next one to tap on a preacher? What if by simply opening up your home and joining in this Bible study, you help somebody that was just like me, that may change the world in a greater way, and you didn't see anything at the time, but God saw everything at the time? Would you be a part of sowing the seed of life by learning how to do it first and then taking it to somebody else? If you will be a part of a catalyst group and be willing to jump in and help somebody and learn and grow, I want you to take a minute of prayer, and then I want you to lift your hands if you're willing. Bow your heads, please. This is the great game changer. Let us pray. Let us pray. I see a hand lifted. When you are ready, you can lift your hands. I see another one, another one, another one, another one, another one, another, and another, and another, yes, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another, yes. Wow, look at the hands going up. Yes. And another in the back, yes. Yes, and another, thank you. The willingness to be a part or lead, thank you. Is there another? Is there another? I see you on up there on the balcony. Thank you. I've missed you. I've missed you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another one just went up. Another one just went up. Another one over here. Went up. Hallelujah. Thank you. I see you, daughter. Another one just went up. Another one. Hallelujah. Thank you. I want you to put your hands down right now and look at me. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord. Will you go for Him now? Will you go? Will you take up your road of Emmaus and learn from Him that you might go and share with someone else? Next week, I'll have the study questions and everything ready for you. But this week, it's about recognizing our need to have that joy. I want my heart to burn again from drawing from the wells of salvation the truth about the gospel, the truth about my salvation, who I am and where I'm going. And when I get this and give it away, my joy will be full. Would you stand to your feet, church?